If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Welcome, everyone, to the Completely Unnecessary Podcast for Tuesday, March 26th, springtime.
Flowers,
2019. Pat's in a place this morning.
Yeah, that's Ian Ferguson.
I'm right here.
I'm Pat Contry. Boy, do we have a podcast for you this week.
Sure do.
Ian, what are we talking about?
Oh, we're going to talk about some stuff. We're going to talk about perhaps two different Switch models coming this year. Apple Arcade, an all-digital Xbox One console. GameStop news.
Zack Snyder make it back into the
podcast. Oh, yeah, Zack Snyder's made it back in. And we'll do a little Q&A here. We've got a Patreon poll and a scumbag seller.
Yeah, of the week. Do you like springtime, Ian?
I do. It's nice.
Love is in the air. Do some cleaning. What else is associated with
I prefer
spring?
Fall.
Yes, fall is the best, but not in San Diego. There is no fall here.
Right, but
back east.
A good fall lets you know that it's time to sit down for the winter.
I'm going to plant an oak tree up front just so I can get leaves.
There you go.
I'm going to do that.
But
spring, wait 80 years.
Spring is nice, except for like when spring wants me to be more active than I want to be.
when the season tells you directly,
yeah,
hey, be more active.
Be more active.
Get out of the house. Go to the zoo.
I do go to the zoo a lot.
Why don't we go to the zoo together, Ian?
I don't know. We don't do a lot of things
together.
We hold
hands. We can watch the lepers. We don't hang out.
It really depends on how into the Tasmanian Devils you are.
I like the Tasmanian Devils. I'm kind of annoyed at the fact that they don't have those little fat guys from Australia. They don't have any more.
Wombats.
They don't have the wombats anymore.
I know.
They moved them. What happened to
the
wombats?
I don't see any wombats. Hey, sometimes they come and go.
The wombats are great.
These animals aren't prisoners.
I like the capybaras. I like the wombats. I like these guys that are smart and round and rotund. That's my creature I like.
Did you hear that, unfortunately, the pandas are going to be sent back to China in April?
No, I did not hear that. They've been here forever.
They have been, but they were talking. I remember once about a year ago, they started talking about how they are on loan from China, and at some point, you know, depending, you know, they have to keep like renegotiating it every year.
And breeding and stuff. We bred them here. There's a baby once.
And years old. From what I heard, while zoology and this sort of like this field, you know, politics don't get into it very much. I think I've heard that politics maybe. Having
really
a slight yeah
we went after that female business mogul. We're going after her. Maybe they're pissed about that still.
I don't know. Tariffs,
fucking A.
Yeah,
tariffs are gonna affect my zoo. Tariffs are so fucking dumb. Now they're gonna affect my zoo.
So that's what I heard. I mean, on the other hand, these pandas probably had to go back.
They're homesick.
I don't think the zoo was looking. I mean, the zoo's had really good success with the pandas.
Yes, they bred them.
So
I get really annoyed in it's usually when I meet a new potential lady friend, and I bring up how much I love the zoo. This is how I know it's not going to go well. When they say, oh, they just keep them in cages. I'm like, are you fucking stupid? Do you know what the zoo actually does? The zoo keeps species alive.
See, the thing is like, okay, so that sort of...
Knee-jerk reaction.
That mindset... If you go to a place like the Buffalo Zoo, now maybe the Buffalo Zoo has improved, but I doubt it.
Okay.
But if you go to a place like the Buffalo Zoo or some fucking rinky-dink zoo in the middle of bumfuck nowhere, sure.
Des Moines Zoo?
Those can get pretty fucking depressing, but the San Diego Zoo?
The San Diego Zoo is a nonprofit that is one of the biggest, best zoos in the world.
It's always in the top three zoos in the world.
They literally brought species back from extinction. There was like five California condors left in like the late 80s.
Yeah.
There was like a family of them left. Now they're back in the wild. Without the zoo doing these conservation and people giving a shitload of money. Like they run on not just people going to the zoo, but they run on donations.
Yeah.
And people. So
Conrad Previs.
Yes, I'm sorry.
That man has donated a lot of money, Mr.
Yes.
Conrad
Previs. So it's like, yeah, okay. Yeah, these animals. First of all, the penguins don't know where they are. They're having a great old time.
Yeah, they don't.
They have
a
huge area to swim, hang out. They're not going to get eaten by any seals or anything.
Walruses.
Walruses, they're fine. So don't worry about them. They're okay. Yeah. Worry about the animals. If you're concerned that zoos are bad, what do you care about the animals getting hacked and killed in Africa? Like, do you care about that? Because this is helping to counter that.
Yeah.
Making sure that the northern white rhino still exists. Because we're down to like two of them, okay?
Two, and we don't have a male and a female.
We're down to two of them.
We're trying to pull some genetics.
We're trying
stuff.
To do some like Jurassic Park stuff to literally save a species right now. I'm sorry, I'm going to get off my soapbox. But
I'm going to bring up the Tasmanian devils again.
Okay. Are they in trouble too?
In the past like 15, 20 years, a highly contagious form of facial cancer is killing the Tasmanian devils because it's wildly contagious in Australia. But you know what Tasmanian devils are happy? I can tell you which Tasmanian devils are happy right now. McLovin. McLovin's happy. That's his name. McLovin is happy at the San Diego Zoo.
I know his name is McLovin.
One of them's name is McLovin. I don't know the other one's name.
Yeah, all I know is you don't want me to become a billionaire. Because I'll just hire mercenary groups to hunt down poachers and kill them in Africa.
Well, I
will go on record and say that right now.
If I became a billionaire,
I will do that.
I'll do the other end. I mean, normally I would be the one doing the contract killing, I think. But no, if I become a billionaire, all of San Diego is going to be a fucking zoo.
You're just going to open it up.
Just going to be like, here's the money. Just
you expand them out. Yeah. Downtown becomes a zoo.
Yeah, downtown becomes.
No, but that was actually a plot of a Gogo 13 one.
Oh, really?
What was going to translate? Where a bunch of poachers just gunned down, like, from helicopters. This probably has happened before, by the way. A lot of these stories in Gogo 13 came from, like, some real-life thing. They gun down the elephants with machine guns from helicopters, and they take the tusks, because they're fucking pieces of shit animals.
Yes.
And so are the animals that think that, like, tusks have magical abilities or shit in areas of the world that help this bullshit thrive. So they hire Gogo 13. Kill these poachers, and it's a beautiful issue because he concocts this this very detailed plan, luring them out and killing every single one of them.
Nice.
God, it was such a heartwarming tale.
That's one that I would really like.
If I adapted Gogo 13, that's my other, if I'm a billionaire, there's going to be a whole series of Gogo 13. It'll be on Netflix or Hulu because it'll be nice hour stories. That will be one of the adapted tales. That will be a heartwarming tale of like, oh, this killer just did humanity a favor.
Another thing I would do if I was a billionaire is I would seed clouds with Skittles like those commercials.
I don't think that's possible.
Okay.
Would you plant soft serve ice cream in the earth so we can find it like it's oil? Would you also do that?
Yeah.
To make the world a better place?
Oh, so apparently in this intro we're supposed to be talking about the Polymega GDC.
Well, we don't have to. But people will probably think it's strange if we don't address, being that we brought up Polymega's little spat with Analog. A week or so ago, but Polymega was at GDC. I know we can talk about. We're going to talk about other things that happened at GDC, but Polymega showed off, I guess, a prototype of their console, and they showed off their Sega Saturn emulation,
right?
Which they touted. What was it, in the fall? But in the fall, there was some shenanigans that people thought was going on, where they were showing gameplay from some other emulator, software emulator. So they showed off. I believe it was somewhat smooth gameplay for some games.
They loaded up Power Drift. That was the video that I think was the big one. I don't know if there was more videos. It's good. It means your product's doing what you said your product was going to do.
Well, it's running an emulator.
Yeah.
It's not hardware-based.
No, it's still the same issue. It's still an emulator.
And what I've seen, it's the existing Mendefen emulator that I think they had the person write it specifically for the Polymega.
Gotcha.
Which would make sense.
Yeah.
Tweak it to maybe take advantage of some of the hardware specs, you know.
I understand emulators to a degree when it comes to disk-based systems. I do. But I don't know. I don't know how that's supposed to be a big gotcha.
It's not a gotcha.
When they told us that that's what it was going to be doing. I don't know.
It's a proof of concept of your console.
Sure.
Which is good. It's good for the tons of people that have ordered it.
Yes.
That this is closer to coming out. Absolutely. But they've also pushed it back now, I think, further, the release date. And they're going to take more pre-orders, I believe, in May. That was the news. Or they're going to take more pre-orders, ramp up again, and then it's going to come out, I believe, later in the year.
Right.
That's the plan. So, good, I guess. I don't know. I mean, the ad.
I mean, it's fine. I don't know if they were expecting pats on the back. You don't get praise for stuff that you said you were going to do.
That you've taken money for, right?
Yeah.
No, it's just like, okay, show us what you got that we already paid for, potentially. We've been following the project for a few years now. But I wish them luck. I don't want this to fail because people have money into this.
And it will come out, I just, to what degree?
I will say this. There is a need for a a way to play disc games on an emulator easily.
Oh yes,
there is a way. There is a market for that, and so I'm totally down for that solution. If that's the only thing that came out, I would be thrilled.
See, that's the
modules is what I think the plot gets lost in the modules. That's where, to me, I'm like, I don't see the point, especially since there's so many other ways to play all these other consoles now. You know, year after year,
that are going to do it in the same way, but
do it better if it's an FPGA. Oh, yeah.
Right, exactly. I think we did talk about this once before, because I said if it was just like a Saturn or just like a disc-based console emulator.
Well, that's the base, so that makes sense to me. So, like I said, I'd be down for that, absolutely. Since there's not going to be probably a Sega Saturn FPGA in the future. Like, that's...
No.
You would hold out hope, but, you know.
But I hate to say that their attitude really has kind of turned me off.
Yeah, but that's a whole other issue. And again, that's a shame. You know.
Yeah, I mean, we probably
won't get our free review copy of this.
I'm not doing a good... oh, no. I'm not doing a good enough job here, but I guess the thing is, you got to separate the product from the people. I think that
the art from the artist.
Yes, I think the company and the way they've handled it is awful. I don't like the switch back to, you know, emulation for the modules. The disc-based stuff, though, is pretty cool.
One other thing about the Polymega being showed off at GDC was that, according to this Nintendo Life article, a particular interest to Nintendo fans is that the included SNES emulator will come with expansion chip support for SA1, Super FX, CX4, with DSP1/2 and S/DD1 being implemented at the moment. So, as far as I know, these are all the chips, you know, the add-on chips for stuff, you know, like Star Fox and Doom, and I think, like, Street Fighter Alpha has a chip in it, and then you have, like, Top Gear 3000 has one of the chips in it. But as far as I know, the emulators can play these games correctly.
Yes.
So, what you're really saying is the emulator that we're using, that we got licensed, that exists already in the computer world onto our box, emulation box, is also doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Right.
Am I reading that right?
Yes.
What is the difference with this?
I have no idea.
I don't see what the advantage would be. Obviously, it's on your TV, but I mean, like, what? They're not touting anything that doesn't, I think, exist.
I get what you're saying. Yes. The advantage is obviously, okay, great, on this console, I don't have to worry about certain games not playing, like, you know, certain older NOAC, you know, clone consoles, but I don't know. It seems to be...
Unless I'm missing, an emulator that doesn't do some of this stuff already, but I think even like...
Retron did all this just fine.
These are supported even on flash cards at this point. Just about every chip is supported.
Just about. On the
SD2
SNES, just about everything is supported.
Sure. So we're still in that same ballpark there. So, okay. So again, I hope this comes out. I hope it does well, and I hope people get their console, and I'll look into the disc system. I will. All right, Ian.
Patrick.
So another big news coming out, not necessarily associated with GDC, but we've heard the rumblings of Nintendo having a new Switch console coming out this year. We've heard that for like almost a year now that was a possibility. And it's not a shock just because if you consider this a handheld, Nintendo always puts out iterations of their handheld. But now we're getting the news that there could be two new Switch consoles.
And it actually makes the most sense, I think, you know, based on what we've talked about in the past. Mm-hmm. So what they're looking to do is they would make a smaller, cheaper, portable model, which mm-hmm. is something we've talked about. We all thought that perhaps, well, you and I did at least, we've discussed how that would make sense. That would kind of fill the hole in their portable market. And that would probably sell well, especially if everything is one piece, it'd be able to sell for cheaper. But then they are saying, because I think that's where the rumors kind of left off the last time we talked about this earlier in the year, was that it might be a smaller one. Now sure. We're looking at one where it is also potentially another one that would be more powerful, a little bit more juice under the hood.
The Super Switch.
Yeah, like a PS4 Pro or an Xbox One X or something like that.
Not that level,
but
yes.
That's those sorts of incremental upgrades that aren't going to make it a brand new system, but will make it run better.
This was originally broke from the Wall Street Journal. You know how they hate all YouTubers, Wall Street Journal? Well, they broke this story.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wall Street Journal sources are parts suppliers with access to a prototype. All right, they got this. They got the skinny out in China somewhere. Those folks claim Nintendo will also eliminate the little-used HD Rumble controller function and other features in order to cut costs. So when you think about what you can cut costs, you think about that. Like, there's a lot of tech gadgets and doohickeys inside those Joy-Cons.
Yeah.
You can get rid of that. The other big thing is when you think about the HD dock, that's a $70 item on its own. So once you take those parts out of the package, you're looking at savings. You're getting nearer to $100 right there. That you can cut out of a price,
yeah,
right there.
If you release a portable smaller model with everything just kind of one piece,
sure.
Or
hell, you can even make it still dockable, but you don't need to include the dock.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's exactly where I was going to go. Was you don't include the dock because that's not really the person who's buying its main focus. And if they want a dock later, they can buy it.
Or they already own one from the original, so you don't need two docks. No, very little people are going to use two different docks.
I'm just wondering if the dimensions would.
Sure.
Add up.
But yeah. Well, it just slides in. Sure. As long as you line up with the power in the video.
Yeah, you're right.
You're good, right?
Yeah.
So that makes sense. I think what our people are more surprised about is what this higher end one's going to be. You know, how is this going to work? I don't think it's going to make the other ones obsolete, but this opens up the door to better ports, to better AAA titles. Because they're talking about between right now and when they probably just about finalize the specs, you're talking about close to like 2.5 years probably of finalizing the specs.
Well, I never really paid much attention to it because I don't have a need for one. But I believe games for the PS4, there are games for the PS4 Pro and possibly for the Xbox One X that when you play them on those systems, they enhance them. So I'm wondering if we would be able to get something similar to that on the...
Better frame rate, because there's more power.
Exactly.
So something like Doom, if it's locked on like 30 frames, maybe it gets to 45. You know, maybe it can get up
maybe
a little
more. Maybe it gets a bump in textures or something like that.
But I'm guessing what the question is, now developers, will this be enough? I guess you'd have to see... I mean, it's not going to probably still be as powerful as a PS4.
No.
A hyped up Switch. No. It's closer. Maybe it's like right, a tick below that. But
sure. The thing is, though, is you're not really going to see that taken advantage of because Nintendo is very good about not splitting their player bases.
Sure.
So I don't think that even if we had that kind of power in there, I don't think it's anything you're really going to see. Like what I'm getting, I think like much like the PlayStation 4 Pro and the Xbox One X, I think what we'll see are games that definitely get like a frame rate bump or a texture upgrade or something like that from the more powerful system. But I don't think we're going to see the overall graphics as a whole, make a huge jump.
So this is an interesting, we're looking at Engadget's summarizing of the Wall Street Journal article because you need to subscribe to read the Wall Street Journal article. I should have just screenshot it because I got in. We can get a few freebies.
Yeah, yeah.
The cheaper Switch version was originally rumored to be a strictly handheld device without the plastic docking station on the current Switch. Without revealing any details, suppliers told the Wall Street Journal that might not quite be accurate. You would be wrong, this is in quotes, you would be wrong to think the enhanced version is similar to what Sony did with PS4 Pro and the other is just a cheap alternative that looks very similar to some past handheld machines, say Sony's PlayStation Vita, said a person who used both devices. We could find out as early as this summer. So we shall see. This could be, if they decide, I'll be shocked if they put out one of these and they both include the dock still. I'll be shocked.
Oh, one of these is... I would
at least have an option where you can't have
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I would... Yes, exactly. Because that's going to be the easiest way to cut the cost.
Absolutely.
Get that huge piece out of there.
What do you think about if you remove the rumble from the gyros, from the Joy-Cons, are you really losing that much overall?
No, you're not. I've always found that when you lose rumble, you notice it at first, but then you get
you
over it. I like the HD rumble, but it's only been used to good effect in... a few games. You know, a lot of games don't make use of it.
So it's like the 3D and the 3DS. It's like they got rid of it for the 2DS. They really didn't lose much,
right?
Because very few games really required it. So, all right. So they've 32 million Switches sold so far. Wow. In what has it been? 2 years? Almost 2 years.
Yeah. Holy shit. It has been 2 years. I think we passed it already.
It was March.
Yeah.
Of 2 years ago. Wow. Okay. We're getting to past prediction numbers. We're getting close. We're going to probably blow by it there.
What was your prediction?
I think it was like 35 to 40 million. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to get past that. Maybe not get to 50, but we're going to go past that.
Sure.
So what was your prediction, Ian? What did you think?
I was thinking 35, 30. Okay. Yeah.
Same ballpark.
I mean, I want more than that, but I
I'm just thinking what I thought.
Hedging my bet.
I thought what was reasonable based upon the 3DS sales, based upon the Switch, excuse me, the Wii U sales and the Wii sales. I thought somewhere in between all that magic, there was a number around 35 to 40. That's what I thought. So anyway, all right. We'll see what happens with more announcements here. We'll see how gimpy the new small Switch is. If it, you know,
probably,
maybe
yeah.
maybe it can fit in your pocket. Maybe it's like a micro Game Boy Advance.
That picture would be pretty clear looking to see that resolution squashed down.
You like that?
It'd be neat.
That's how you play your Splatoon 2 on. You would be fine with that.
Dude, I just play Mario fucking Tennis. Oh, I play so much Mario Tennis, it's ridiculous.
Okay.
Such a good game.
We got a new arcade opening, Ian.
Oh, good.
You want to have your parents drop you down in the station wagon after going to bowling?
Leave me off at the old Apple Arcade. So the Apple Arcade is going to be, it's a streaming service that Apple's doing, another gaming streaming service.
Announced at GDC.
Announced at GDC.
Was it? No, their own event.
No,
their
own
event. Apple
yeah,
event.
Sorry.
Apple doesn't need GDC.
Apple always does their own event.
We don't need it.
Apple introduces Apple Arcade, a subscription gaming service for mobile, desktop, and living room.
So everywhere.
So basically what this is going to give you is for a subscription fee a month, you're going to get curated select Apple games for free.
Well, with a subscription.
With the subscription, yeah. They are touting that there will be 100 exclusive games on Apple TV when it launches, meaning, I guess, like, truly, when games you can't get anywhere else.
Curated, the games are curated by experts, updated monthly. Will include original releases from renowned creators Hironobu Sakaguchi, Ken Wong, Will Wright, and more.
Yeah, if you look at this, so Hironobu Sakaguchi, that would be Mistwalker. There's a display here of like the people who have joined on. So we've got some fairly big names in indie and mainstream. We've got Way Forward, Skybound, which is the video game arm of Image Comics, so Walking Dead and stuff like that. Sumo Digital. It looks like Choice Provisions, Cartoon Network, Disney, Sega, Devolver Digital. So there's a lot of people on board for this. A lot of publishers that, I mean, frankly, put out some pretty good stuff. I'm still not sold on streaming.
No ads, no ad track, and no additional purchases. Available. This is the big news. They actually took a kind of a swipe at the Google Stadia. They said games available to play offline.
Yep, without an internet connection, you can still play the games that you've downloaded, which is
so
huge.
That's a biggie. That means that the streaming isn't as necessary. Then at that point, you can download them and play them on device. Family sharing, that's good. All household members can play for a single subscription cost. And then it works like iPad, iPhone, Mac, Apple TV. Streaming devices, they're pushing for indies. I'm just reading this, some of the things you said, Sega, include games such as Sonic the Hedgehog, Beneath the Steel Sky, Where Cards Fall. They promise games from Sega, Cartoon Network, Mistwalker, Snowman, Konami, Lego, many more, Giant Squid. They're also going to be contributing to the dev costs of games. So they're actually like going to help publish these games. That's interesting. So
yeah,
they're going all in here.
They're basically looking for the companies that they want to pay the games for.
They're going to act like a Netflix, like they're going to pay for the content.
This could be hard for... I've been reading some rumblings, and I agree that this could be difficult. This could make it difficult for smaller, unknown developers to make a splash on the App Store, though. Because if you're smaller and unknown, Apple's not going to go looking for you to make your game. And if you get this arcade service and it takes off, people are going to be browsing through the pay-to-play games a lot less. So, basically, I mean, it's... Nintendo is picking, essentially, who you get to see and who you don't get to see at this point. And I feel like that's going to be disastrous
Nintendo?
For some... Or not Nintendo, Apple.
Okay.
And I feel like that's going to be disastrous for some indie devs.
Sure, because if people are paying... And we don't know what this is going to cost.
Right.
So if people are saying to themselves, well, I'm paying, we'll say, $20 a month or $25 a month or $30, I'm not gonna. Yeah, you're right. I'm not gonna pay $5 for a game. I'm just gonna see what's in my in my library.
Nine times out of ten, you're only gonna, you know, the average person isn't gonna seek that out. They're just gonna play what Apple throws at them. And if Apple makes this cheap enough a month, which I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
I don't know how cheap they can make this. That they're gonna be paying out to develop some of these games.
Well, we'll see. But I think if you've got it at 15 to 20 a month, I feel like that is. That will really hurt.
This is their gambit. Their gambit is that, well, there's like a billion people that have a smartphone at this point. It's like a chunk of the world has a smartphone. So they're thinking, well, if we get most of them to sign up, you know, that's a ton of money for us.
Sure.
But I don't know if that's the way this stuff plays out. You're casting a very wide net at people that may not be into it. Maybe they like buying their little apps. Maybe you have some loyalty to the small developers. When you go in the app store, you see what's popular.
Yeah.
What did I say? Bubble Cat Soup. You want to play Bubble Cat? By the way, someone told me there is a Bubble Cat game that exists. I think it's like a Bust a Move clone with cats or something. Anyway, so I was just making a joke. Bubble Cat Soup. Anyway, so this to me is interesting. I think this is actually more interesting if you're someone on the go a lot versus I don't see a lot of people playing this on a TV at home. I think this is like if I'm traveling a lot. Or I just want a whole library, or maybe I'm too lazy to see what's in the app stores popping. Maybe I want it to be curated. Maybe I don't want to buy garbage.
I don't think this is as bad of an idea as Stadia by any
You like
means.
This better.
Because once you eliminate the need for an internet connection, it's fine. You're not
It's a lot easier also to have the technology for a mobile type game versus a AAA game with our internet connection.
And while I don't play a lot of mobile games, my mobile game playing exists as Scrabble.
You don't need a T1 line for
right.
Scrabble.
But I mean, there are a lot of people. So I'm just saying, like, I have no issue with mobile games. I just don't play a ton of them. But lots of people do. You know, I mean, that's a market that we oftentimes forget about and act like, you know, it's. I don't know. Some people act like it's not an important market. But anyway,
it's the end of the world.
It's the end of the world. But it's
playing mobile games.
I would be interested in seeing what a more casual mobile-based gamer would think if they read it and they're like I want to know what their reaction would be to the pitch.
Sure.
Because if they fuck around on their phone a lot on the bus or whatever, I mean, it might seem reasonable. I don't know. I see
this as geared towards, you know, upper middle class sort of person that, you know, they don't care. This is an extra service. They'll be traveling, or at a business expo.
Sure,
it's a little convenient to have all these games ready to go for you.
Yeah, someone perhaps a little bit more adult than us. Who
I'm an adult. I have a mortgage.
I have debt, so I guess we're both adults.
Or everyone has debt.
Yeah, but I could see this being the person who, you know, doesn't have a game console, and this is going to be enough for them.
This is a different market entirely than Google Stadia.
Yes.
As well. That's going to be obviously towards console.
Google
games.
Stadia is trying to go for console gamers with games that don't really yet fit streaming properly. Mobile games, hell, even if it did rely on streaming, you'd probably be fine.
Absolutely, it's a horsepower in the phone. I mean, it still could bring us to the moon versus what was in the '60s. But you know, it's not the same as you know, Red Dead 2, for sure. All right, I think this is going to be interesting. I'm going to predict this is not going to be cheaper than $20 a month. I don't see I think it's going to be $30 a month. I just don't see the way they can keep the cost down on this.
I think 30
and pay off all these devs.
I think 30 is the right number if you're going to be paying off devs. I don't think it has much of a chance if it's more than 20. That's my take.
So maybe 25 they can try to hit.
Yeah, I think 30 is reasonable. Like, don't get me wrong. I get it. I just think 20 is the... I think that's the price they need to shoot for.
We're going to get into the subscription game war soon.
Wow!
Apple also announced their Apple TV Plus, which is basically like their Hulu with all, you know, original content. They already have a bunch of... I saw the trailer. There's like 12 to 15 show movies ready to go that they've been producing behind the scenes with like real actors. Jason Momoa was in one. Steve Carell was in one. So like they're making a play at this.
Great.
So get out your credit card, everyone. $500 a month to stream entertainment, games, movies, TV shows. We're hitting it. you're going to wish for, no, you're not going to wish for Comcast again.
Remember when cable was expensive?
Well, that's where we're going to be at. There's going to be a lot more choice, but you're going to have to pay out if you want everything. But no one has time to watch everything anyway. I'm watching Unsolved Mysteries on Amazon Prime. That's right, that's all I got time for.
Vonnie and I are almost on season 6.
Yeah. All right. All right, Ian, we have more news on the...
God, we've just got so much fiery news today.
So much fiery news. Modern gaming news.
Oh, my God. It's like we're fucking reviewing tech in the USA. Xbox One S all-digital console launching in May. I think we saw this coming. I think not just Pat and I, but we've discussed it. I think, obviously, other people saw
this. Well, it was rumored, right?
Was it?
I thought it was rumored.
I mean... No? I just think we... Maybe it was.
So it's a discless Xbox One. All digital gaming. All the time.
So it's your Xbox One S. It's the S model, the small one. And the rumor is plenty of rumors. See, now it's being rumored. Now there's rumors from the rumors. We've known that... okay, I guess it's been for a few weeks. I mean, we talked about this like a year ago.
This could be a possibility. So,
codename Maverick.
Top Gun 2 comes out.
Yeah.
It's pretty... No, this year or next year?
It was codename Maverick. It's likely to be called the Xbox One S All Digital Edition when it comes out. I think it's... It makes sense. It does. There is a brand of person out there who doesn't need it. You buy one of these. You buy the Xbox... All Access Pass or whatever the hell they're like
straight their subscription.
They have like a special subscription one that, from what I've heard, is pretty good in terms of what it gives you. You buy that pass, you buy this, and I think that this sets
Game
up,
Pass is called
Game Pass, and I think this sets you up. This sets up any person who doesn't always have to have the latest game. It's not. I with something like Game Pass. I don't feel bad about the fleeting nature, perhaps, of the digital, because you're buying a service, you're not buying a game. I want to know what the price of this system is going to be. If this can come out at the $150 new, I think they might actually move some of them.
The latest console from Microsoft is likely to sit in the Xbox One range. This means there's no Blu-ray drive. Instead, the gaming experience will be digital only. When is it out? Might be revealed in April 2019. Available to buy May 7th.
Oh, really?
How much will it cost? Details from Windows Central suggest it's going to have the lowest price point of the current Xbox lineup, which makes sense. You have less doohickeys in it.
Yeah.
Why not? So you're saying this is going to be for, obviously, what you need a hard drive to download.
Well, yeah. Everything. And also with so much of their content now being on PC, this really is kind of they're phrasing it differently, but this is different. This is essentially a set top PC box. I mean, to a degree, you're going to be getting a lot of that stuff. Or this is, I mean, that's how it's going to operate at the very least.
So you need, obviously, if you want to download all the AAA games, you need a good connection, or you'll be waiting there for a week and a half still.
Yeah.
So if you want to play Red Dead 2 on this, buy it from the store.
I don't know what my connection is, but I download pretty quickly.
Yeah, we live in San Diego. We're good.
Sure.
But we updated your internet for the marathon a couple years ago. But again, this goes back to the issue of, yeah, if you have a good internet connection, this is a nice solution. If this costs, say this comes out and it's only $160, something like in that neighborhood, or $180, you have a lot of people that might be willing to drop that amount of money on it at that point versus $300 or $400. You know, I can look and be like, oh, I can get a AAA console very cheap. I don't have a disc. I have a good internet connection. I'm ready to go. You know, why not do that at that point?
So it looks like Game Pass costs somewhere in the range of $80 a year.
But you don't need that. You can just buy games, though.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but if you buy, but I mean, $80 a year, you pay a little bit more than one.
You're
game
saying that's your entry fee is this console to get the Game Pass.
Well,
so
you buy this, you buy Game Pass,
set,
and you
potentially.
have
a lot
it.
Of games.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I'm thinking about if I want to play Red Dead 2, this is my cheapest way to do it.
Yeah.
Out of all the PS4s and Xbox Ones, this will be the cheapest way to do it.
Except for you've got a PS4 sitting in your living room.
First of all, it's sitting right there. I don't have time to play. It's not mine. It's Yoshi's.
I know it is.
I know, Ian. I know. I wanted to give it back to him. He won't let me give it back to him. Sorry, Yoshi's a CG guy, our friend of the show.
Yoshi, he doesn't appreciate your generosity.
He's an expert in jiu-jitsu, by the way. He's going to teach me. Anyway.
Him and I are going to get together and have some long, chewy white boys.
Long, chewy white boys?
Yeah.
Not forgetting what that was from the marathon.
We love rice cakes. No, it was
that's right.
Yeah.
It was from we Korean barbecue we did together.
The sticky Korean rice cakes.
Yeah, the white boys. You had about 40 of those.
Pass me a plate of them white boys.
you must have absorbed so much water the next 5 days. Your stomach must have expanded. So much rice was inside of you.
I fucking love those things.
Let's see. Promotional period is $10 a month after promotional period for your Xbox Game Pass. You're saying you buy it all up front for $80 or so?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Like I said, if this comes out, this is going to be, if this is like a sub-$200 solution, AAA gaming, if you have a decent connection like I do here, I got fiber optic. You might see Pat buy an Xbox. You might see it.
I honestly feel like that might be my choice next generation.
And
Sony doesn't.
Well, I think next generation, this is what Xbox is going to be.
Right.
I think Xbox is going to be like, yeah, digital or buy it on your PC. Or the super duper Switch. We'll put our games in there. Cuphead's coming to Switch. It's big news, Ian. We're not going to do a whole topic, but
I just started playing it on my PC.
You like it?
It's a damn good game. It's gorgeous, too.
Contra-esque, but 1930s animation, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
What a wacky-ass game. God, I love this stuff.
Yeah.
The golden age of gaming, Ian. All right, so anything else to add on the discless? Discless? Be careful how you say that. Discless Xbox One All Digital.
No. Nothing else to add. I will... I'll swoop in here to discuss that Konami has some... collections coming to various game platforms this
digital
summer.
Collections.
So we're going to get a Castlevania collection, and that's going to contain Castlevania 2.
This is the 50th anniversary of Konami. Yes,
yeah.
that's the big news here.
Right. Castlevania 2 Belmont's Revenge, Castlevania 3 Dracula's Curse, Super Castlevania 4, and 4 currently unannounced games. Well, since they've been ported to death, I'm also going to guess that Symphony of the Night and Rondo of Blood will be on there. I have no idea what the other two will be.
Why would they leave those off? Yeah, it makes sense.
The other two, though? Not so sure. And then for the Contra anniversary, we've got Contra, Super Contra, Super C, Contra 3, The Alien Wars, and 4 currently unannounced games. Contra Hardcore better be one of them.
Like Super Contra, that's the arcade version of Super C, correct? Is that what that is? That has to be.
I don't know.
4 currently unannounced games. Well, you're going to get the Hardcore probably.
Yeah, Hardcore I love.
What's the first one that came out on PlayStation?
I don't remember. Neo. There was also Shattered Soldier was the good one on PS2.
When you click on these collections select your region. What am I getting here? What are you showing me? Birthdate? I got to put my birthdate in to look at a Contra collection? Seriously? 1931. I was
Anyways,
born.
The last one, though, that's coming out, and it's the Konami Arcade Classics collection.
Super Contra is the arcade version. So you're getting the arcade version of these as well. Okay.
So, Haunted Castle, Typhoon, Nemesis, which is Gradius, Vulcan Venture, Gradius 2, Twinbee, Scramble, Thundercross, and Life Force.
Wait a second. According to this, the NES Contra is not announced yet. It's the arcade one.
Okay, so...
They better put the NES one on here.
Yeah.
They better fucking do that, or this is a no-go.
So, this is where these collections start to fall apart. When you look at the arcade classics one... Haunted Castle, Typhoon, Gradius 2, Life Force, Thundercross.
That non-Castlevania game, Haunted Castle.
Scramble, and Twinbee.
Why is it on the Castlevania collection? I guess you're right. It's not a Castlevania game.
So, these are all the Arcade Archives PS4 releases.
So they're just rebundling it digitally.
That's what I'm gathering here, at least for the arcade one. They're just rebundling it digitally. This is not going to have, I don't believe, the same sort of presentation as...
What a weird selection.
It's just kind of what's out there. It feels like, to me, they're just throwing it out there.
Scrambles included?
Out there. I mean, sure. But it doesn't... Yeah, these appear to be more of a cheap cash-in by bundling stuff that's already been put out and then reselling it again.
They might as well call this one the Shooter Collection, because most of the games are shooters. All but one of them are.
For 1999 euros, that's probably like, what, 30 US thereabouts?
Pat math, about 25, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually, that's decent, because I think most of these, if you want these, most of these arcade classics are $7.99 a piece. So you're saving money. I don't know.
This arcade pack sucks balls. Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's questionable.
That's a questionable one. Going back to the Contra one, it's a no-go if you don't have Contra NES on this. It's a no-go.
Well, I imagine that they have to be working some of the NES games in, because there is no Castlevania 2, Belmont's Revenge, Castlevania, or Dracula's Curse in the arcade. You know, those are all obviously the home versions.
I'm just looking at what they announced so far.
Oh, I know.
And it's only the arcade Contra.
Yeah, that's how that's
the super. Better. Both Super C's are on there. So they even announced Simon's Quest yet. What's the odds they don't put Simon's Quest on there?
They did.
It's a Castlevania. It's a Game Boy one.
Oh, that's
this is shaping up weird.
Yeah,
I'll just say this: if they don't put all three NES Castlevania games on here, and fucking Contra Force. It's not a real Contra game. But they don't put the Contra NES game on here. This is shenanigans. I'm just calling shenanigans.
Castlevania 2 Belmont's Revenge is fucking great, though. So I'm glad that's going to be on there.
Why not announce them all? I'm not going to come back. We're not going to talk about this before they announce the other four games coming out on the Castlevania. We're not going to do it. So why? What are you holding back for? Especially if a lot of these games are already out there in the digital space.
Yeah, what's the point?
What are you doing, Konami? And why only eight games for, in the pantheon of your arcade games, you're picking out these eight?
Because they're what's available.
Nothing from the 90s? What's from the 90s here?
These have already been done.
Is there anything from the 90s here? 89, 86, no. Is Gradius 2 from the 90s?
I don't believe so.
No, it's from 88. You can't put a Sunset Riders on here? You can't put a Konami Beat 'em Up on here? No, that's a no-go. I'm sorry, I'm out. Pass tapping out. I'm not interested in it. This is garbage. I don't see why some people are excited about this. Like, this is a big deal. These sets.
Oh,
this is garbage.
I don't think anyone was excited about it. Most people I saw talking about them were like, this looks like it's going to be cheap and awful.
I'm not excited anymore. You had your chance, Konami. I'm disappointed. 50 years? Hey, Konami, how about the Bonk collection? Or the TurboGrafx, we're sitting on all these IP collection that you haven't done shit with since you bought them like 10 years ago. How about that?
Yeah.
You want to sell them to me?
Yeah.
Want me to make an investment?
Yeah.
Might be a better investment than another one that I want to make recently.
Yeah, sell them to Pat.
Sell them to me. You'll get your Bonk collection next month. We'll talk to Frank Cifaldi.
We'll Bonk it right out.
We'll get all the Bonks out there. We'll bring back that one that was just about done that I saw at Comic-Con back in 2010. Pat will put out the Bonk collection. Bonk 1, 2, 3, Bonk 3 CD. We'll do it. We'll do it up. NES version, which is basically the first game. Super Bonk, we'll do it all. Proud to be partnering with Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy, sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees at all, so you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there is no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level.
The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. View easy-to-understand charts and market data and place a trade in just four taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections, such as 100 most popular.
With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, track your favorite campaigns, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners of the CU podcast a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at cupodcast.robinhood.com.
All right, so let's move on to this GameStop news.
Okay. we're skipping the FDA anti-smoking game.
I just don't care.
You don't care.
Kids, don't fucking smoke. All right, back to it.
You don't have to pay Ninja millions of dollars to play your FDA anti-smoking game to get your message out of FDA. Well, you know, this is the Battle Royale podcast, but it wasn't a Battle Royale game. Anyway, okay. In news from GameStop, so GameStop almost had a sale go through,
and then it got kiboshed.
And then the people that were looking to buy, they actually hired GameStop hired someone specifically to find a buyer. It's always a good shape your business in when you have to hire someone to find the buyer for you.
Yeah, if you need to buy a hype man, that's
buy a hype. There you go. So they had a potential buyer, and then it fell away. The deal went through probably because the buyer said, "Oh shit, this isn't good shape that we're in here, or what's going on?" Especially since GameStop has not been very profitable the past few years. Closing, what was that, 150 stores they closed in the past couple of years. Was that a year and a half ago?
I think that was a year ago, yeah. I think there's more closing.
Not good. So they found a new CEO, which is good. New leader, new direction of the company.
Big Georgie S. George Sherman.
Used to work for Advanced Auto Parts, so that fits into the gaming world very well.
Verizon Wireless, Advanced Auto Parts, Home Depot, and Target. He knows games.
Okay. So he worked at, he said Best Buy, he worked at Home Depot, he worked at Target as an executive. So he's been with retail store change, which is good. That's the good news. But we're getting towards digital gaming future more and more. That hurts GameStop bottom line because they don't sell digital games. They might sell cards, but they're not selling a lot of those probably.
But they did sell digital games, but we're going to get to how that's going to change a little bit for them.
Okay. They don't know how much digital gaming that they did percentage-wise. Sherman acknowledges he's coming on specifically because GameStop needs a change. I'm honored to have the opportunity to lead GameStop, one of the leading and most recognized brands in the video game industry. I bring significant experience working with other retailers that have undergone large, successful transformations and look forward to leveraging GameStop's industry position, history, and brand. Okay, here's the difference. George, can I call you George? Mr. Sherman?
Mr. Sherman.
When you take over Advance Auto Parts, people still have to buy oil filters and lug nuts. And other, I really spark plugs. I know how to change spark plugs.
Coveralls.
I've changed spark plugs. So there's no digital version of spark plugs.
Right.
You have to buy a physical version of it.
Yes.
With video games, it disappears into the ether.
Yeah.
The physical games just flake away, so to speak. Your stock of potential sales goes bye-bye. That doesn't happen at a Target where you can still sell clothes or still sell home goods. That doesn't happen.
Their own brand crinkle cut french fries, which are very delicious.
Sure. It doesn't happen at a Verizon Wireless retailer where you can still sell phones and sell your overpriced cases for $25 that cost.
These companies have something that is irreplaceable in the physical market.
We can grab it. The Mario ball. It exists. I can hold it and nurture it and caress it and call it my friend. On lonesome Friday nights.
Yeah, weird.
Not that I've done that. So that's the difference here. So this is not the same task for a new CEO to come in to turn this around. But they have a plan, Ian. It's GameStop 2.0.
GameStop 2.0!
Like Matt Hardy, version 1. GameStop 2.0.
Oh, yeah! I can't remember how.
God, I miss Matt Hardy. Version 1.
Yep.
It was great. Okay. So they're trying to focus away just from selling, getting people into the store. That's what you want to do. That's what Toys R Us failed to do. We talked about that before, about like you need the experience getting people into the store, getting people in there, not just for your product, a whole experience. And that's what they're trying to do.
So they're going to do it with more TVs.
They're trying to create a GameStop cultural experience.
Sounds awful.
New kinds of stores and more membership programs.
I do not want a cultural experience from my video game store.
Expect a variation on power-up rewards that provides better trading and pre-owned game prices. Well, that'll cut into your bottom line, though. So that's your gambit. You're getting more stock. You need more pre-owned games to come in because that's where you make your money.
And this is where I saw it, too. This is where the problem lies. And we keep up on their prices and stuff at Luna. They're doing poorly, but over time they have been slowly bumping up
their game, their used prices.
A little bit on what they would give for it. And we're not talking a lot, but a little
10% more.
And it's not. I mean, it's not doing anything. They're still in trouble. I mean, at a certain point, you're
eating your own tail if you do that, though. Right. That cuts into their profits.
And this isn't trying to be pro GameStop, you know, because we were pro Blizzard. And all that.
Or shills.
But
our checks in the mail.
To a degree, yeah, GameStop's buyback policies suck. And what they take back sucks. But we do better than GameStop, but it's still not always what people want. If you buy and sell games for what people want you to buy them from you for, you're never going to make any money. And I'm afraid that if what I'm getting is by watching their prices, if I've already seen them slowly tick up in some of the categories, what more are they going to give? At some point, they're going to be.
They can't double it.
They'll give themselves life for another 2 years, but it's going to kill the business in the long run.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they're going to raise prices to such an extent that people are going to go furrow inside their closet to find their old Xbox 360 games to trade them in. I don't think that's going to happen. I think what they're
I'm just saying is if they're spending more money to get games.
Did I say furrow? Burrow.
If they're spending more money to get physical games in and they can't sell them or they're selling them at such a small profit margin, it's not going to help you.
The digital wave is here. This is the finger in the dike that this is going to stop the wave coming. That's what this is. This is what's funny about this to me, about different types of stores. How much different can your GameStop be?
Well, it's different types of stores and also like more programs. No one wants more programs in their stores. The fact that outright it said that. Where the hell was that line?
You're going to love this. You love the corporate speak. I know you like the corporate speak.
Oh, God. No, this article is so hard.
The team has already done extensive strategic work to identify and pursue new customer-centric opportunities that will further expand
the culture
of gaming in new and exciting ways.
I love gaming culture.
I look forward to leading our associates and believe that we have a tremendous opportunity in front of us to continue to fuel the passion of gamers around the world. Can I call you George?
Yes,
George, you know you're not going to turn around, buddy. You're getting a nice salary, and when this gets sold, you're going to get a nice payout. Or if it goes bankrupt, you're going to get a nice payout. That's what's going to happen here. Can I call you George? George, okay. I saw this happen with another company called Blockbuster.
Yep.
And while it wasn't digital directly, it was a Netflix disc mailing service that put them under very quickly. They were only a year and a half behind, or 2 years behind Netflix, and that was it. Because I did market research at one point looking into this stuff. So Blockbuster had grandiose ideas, Ian.
Yes,
you know
one
of it was? New store types. Right. They wanted to create entertainment like locations with like kids could come and play in like a ball pit or have rides and things. And not only were they terrible ideas, the amount of capital you need in order to get this stuff going is probably more than you want to look at. Yeah, you can put more TVs in your store, but isn't that then just going back to what Funkoland did? Like, you want to show off the video games in your store? Like, you want to actually have people play the games in the store? Like, yeah, you have demo units, but that was what Funkoland was cool, is that, yeah, you could see all the games playing, you can play them yourself. It's a little too late for this stuff. And even if this was already existing, this would not help the crunch that's coming from the digital gaming world.
It hasn't helped other stores, smaller chains that tried to do this. Like Play and Trade was a big one that used to do that. I believe they had like multiple TVs set up with games you could
try to do that. Is Play and Trade still around at all?
No. Play and Trade is at least not in San Diego.
Yeah, the one that's local. Yeah,
but yeah, there were a couple of those smaller chains that tried to do that, and it doesn't do anything for you.
Play and Trade is still in Claremont Mesa.
Oh, really?
They're still permanently closed. I'm sorry. Yeah, they closed. I went in there like 7 years ago.
So here's
I almost bought like a GameCom from them.
Here's the funny story. They bribed people with free pizza to vote for them for the
Video Game Store Wars of San Diego for the best retailer,
the A10 award or whatever. Wow. We won it 4 years in a row. 4 years in a row. Then they advertised, come down, get a slice of pizza, vote. So you had to you go get your slice of pizza if you voted for them. They won it that year, proceeded to go out of business 2 months later, and then they never did that award again.
Wow. They ruined the award by shenanigans.
Yep.
Free pizza. All I'm going to say is this. I'm not disparaging this individual, but the guy that used to work at that Play and Trade, I used to see him at the flea market all the time. While it was open, then afterwards, picking up stuff to sell. Not just game stuff. I don't know if it was stuff for the store. I don't know if it was a franchise location.
Huh.
But it was just interesting to see that. And I went to that store, I think, like I said, the one time, and it was like, wasn't totally empty, but it wasn't a Luna Video Games. It wasn't like, it was like maybe like 15, 20 NES games, not like 150 at Luna.
Sure.
You know, it was not bragging. You know, I like Luna Vinda Games, two locations, Chula Vista, El Cajon.
That's right.
But,
Chula Vista.
But this is not going to extend the life of GameStop. This,
if it does, it's just stringing it along.
No, I'm going on record right now. Yeah. Like before, I gave GameStop. I think me and Ian gave GameStop before like 5-6 years. I'm giving GameStop 2 to 3 years.
I think 2.
And we're done. We're tapping out.
That's what I'm saying. When I say this sort of stuff might, like, especially if they like start offering more on trade-ins, this stuff might string them along for 2 years, but that's it.
But then they make less profit, and that's how they make their profit through. So
that's why they're gonna die in 2 years.
It's bleeding. It's a death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah.
At that point, you might as well just get it over with right now.
A million scratches.
I feel bad. I mean, I feel bad. It's tons of GameStop has employees, but this is just not a This is not a business model that can continue in this day and age. It just can't. Or in very few locations where they just cut down all, like Radio Shack. There's still Radio Shack stores here and there, but they close like 90% of them.
And they sell cell phones.
God, I miss Radio Shack. God, I'm going to cry.
You're not going to get the aisles of switches and wire.
I want my
that,
handheld games and my little...
All that fun stuff.
I want my little electronic soundboard little kit.
Oh, God, yeah.
That was advertised. All right. Anything else to add? No.
No.
All right, George. George, give us a call. We can try to help you through this, but there's not a lot of options here. Ian, you know that we tried it. Pulls us back in. He pulls us back in. We thought we were out. Zack Snyder pulls us back in.
Zack Snyder is the number one fucking edgelord.
The original, maybe. The guy's got to be in his mid to late 40s.
I mean, I don't know why he's not wearing like a spiked collar in this fucking this image. In like a shirt with a dead fetus on it.
Is that a shirt?
I don't know. That just seems like a thing an edgelord would do. the intro to this article is great. So Vox has the news of this has been around. Zack Snyder came out to talk about once again about how his movies are better and they'd have gang rape in them. And and the intro to this is great though. The writer, who's the writer? I got to give him credit.
We got to say what the topic of the conversation
is. It's Batman kills, Superman kills. Get over it. But Alex Abad Santos here leads in with, armed with the nefarious kind of energy that compels children to tell other children that there is no such thing as Santa Claus. Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice director Zack Snyder wants fans of Batman and Superman to grow up and know that the characters kill people.
Zack Snyder, by the way, is 52 years old.
52.
Happy birthday. Excuse me, 53. He's had a birthday March 1st. Happy birthday, Zack Snyder. Looks good for 53. He's in shape.
The tagline here, Batman v Superman director Zack Snyder doesn't think a non-lethal Batman could exist in real life. No shit! A lethal Batman couldn't exist in real life, you dumb fucking...
Any Batman couldn't exist because it's Batman.
Yes.
Have you seen the quote-unquote real-life superheroes we have? They are all fucking lame. They carry around pepper spray. Most of them are out of shape. They wear hockey pads and Kevlar. That's...
You are a walking, talking, fucking dunce cap, sir. This is absurd.
It's fantasy, Mr. Snyder. It's fantasy.
Someone says to me, Ben Affleck's Batman killed the guy. I'm like, fuck, really? Wake the fuck up.
During a Watchmen screening, by the way, because this is the tenth anniversary of the Watchmen movie, and this is the problem. He modeled the DCEU after Watchmen, which is, and he fucked up Watchmen. I know people like the Watchmen movie. You are all wrong, and I won't get into why right now. I did a Twitter thread recently when I believe it was Daniel Dwyer said, Zack Snyder's Watchmen movie is a really good movie. Come at me. And did Patrick come at him with about 15 reasons off the top of my head why Watchmen is not a good movie?
Against who?
It was Daniel Dwyer who does those short documentary films,
yeah.
Waypoint.
Yep.
He does those. And boy, Patrick knows a lot about Watchmen. I've read the graphic novel about 5 times, and I've done a little bit of research. And Watchmen was not a good adaptation. You can say it's a good movie. It was not a good adaptation of Watchmen, which, by the way, they're doing an HBO series. Watchmen, which would probably be better. But Zack Snyder was given the keys to this kingdom based upon Watchmen. That's why he was given the keys to the DCEU. That's why the DCEU is in fucking shambles right now and why they have to do these soft reboots when the DCU has only existed for about 4 years.
Can I just please explain how this man makes me dislike him more every time I read? Oh my god, listen to this shit.
What did he say?
Listen to this shit. Then he explained how Watchmen, his 2009 film, is about the gritty reality of superheroes. Hold on.
But it wasn't,
though. Hold on. So he talks about Watchmen, and then he says, once you've lost your virginity to this fucking movie, and then you come and say to me something about, like, my superhero wouldn't do that, I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, down the fucking road on that. And then...
Oh, my God. Okay,
and,
no,
and then, hold on. No. It's a cool point of view to be like, my heroes are still innocent. My heroes didn't fucking lie to America. My heroes didn't embezzle money from their corporations.
What?
My heroes didn't commit any atrocities. That's cool, but you're living in a fucking dream world. Yeah, it's called fiction. It's called fiction.
What? It's a comic book. It's a fantasy.
Oh my god, this dude sucks hemorrhoids for lunch.
We're not reading Tom Clancy or Robert Ludlum.
I'm not.
It's a comic book, Mr. Snyder. It's fantasy. That's the definition of it.
People don't go to comic book movies to see reality.
We see idealistic versions of heroes that we aspire to be. We see parables of things that play upon real life. It's not real life. There are other movies that can do that, yes, but that is not why comic books exist. Holy fucking shit.
Sometimes we want an optimistic view of the world.
There's a reason why I go to the gym, and almost every time you go to the gym, you see a person of every race, creed, with a Captain America shirt, because it's idealism. We aspire to be like Captain America. That's why I will cry in the movie theaters if he dies, because we aspire to be something greater than ourselves. That's why we read. That's why we read Superman or even Batman. Holy shit! I gotta spill this out to the guy that ran the fucking DCEU. Warner Brothers, this is your fucking fault. And this is what I'm going to get back to. Once you've lost your virginity to this fucking movie, probably referencing Watchmen, the reason why Watchmen is regarded as one of the best graphic novels of all time, it's a deconstruction of superhero tropes and stories. It's a deconstruction. That is supposed to be outside of the norm of the other superhero tales that we were used to for the 50 years of superhero tales that existed before that. The fact that he does not understand and get that still. Holy shit. Watchmen was not a model for other superhero movies to follow. It was supposed to be the one that shocked you because it was that different. It was not supposed to be the basis for your Superman and Batman movies.
Right.
This is insane that we see this in black and white, what we always thought and what other people postulated about this.
He just doesn't get it.
He just doesn't fucking get it.
He wants his superhero movies to be his personal prison rape filled superhero
That's
movies.
Fine, but don't do it
but
with Superman
it.
And Batman.
Yeah.
Then make up your own.
He's gross.
This is Warner Brothers' fault. Like, they should be fucking thrown off a cliff. The amount of money that Warner Brothers has lost by going down the Zack Snyder path, they've lost potentially billions of dollars by not having a successful DCEU. They really have.
His type of edgy auteurism. Yeah, I mean, that was gone. I mean, that had a flash in the pan. That fucking grimdark, everything has to be miserable thing, it's not even that popular anymore.
So they ruined the Superman franchise. Batman has gotten rebooted. Affleck's out. The only ones that have been any success, somehow Suicide Squad made money, but they're soft rebooting that even. Wonder Woman, which is totally divorced from the Zack Snyder
stuff.
Well,
they have to reboot it because...
And Aquaman, totally divorced from the Zack Snyder bullshit.
They have to reboot it because it made money, but the reviews were crap. No one was...
And he's still. I think Zack Snyder's still whining about his version of Justice League.
Oh yeah, I was about to pull that up because I think it was. I think he whined about it in this exact.
I'm curious about it. I'll watch it.
I'm not.
To see what the original vision was. It probably won't be any better. It might be interesting.
Zack Snyder is still talking about the better version of Justice League he never got to make. Let's see. Let's just see if we can get Snyder's directly addressing the nightmare scene in which Batman gets captured by some soldiers wearing Superman emblems before getting eye lasered. Snyder talked about how some of his canned Justice League plans that. Blah, 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 blah. All right, what? Before we get into dismissing everyone who didn't like the movie where Batman murders people with guns as being part of a vocal minority is some Trumpy bullshit. Yeah, I guess I don't really know what scene he's talking about. But yeah, he anyways, long story short, he's
I'm fucking annoyed.
Yeah,
he's, I honestly wasn't that as annoyed before with this whenever I heard him speak about this stuff. I honestly wasn't. But to see him blatantly come out with a high school level of understanding of Watchmen annoys me.
Yeah.
To such a degree. And that's what carried through to the DCEU. I want an uplifting Superman movie. I would love to see it. I love the original. I own it on fucking DVD. I'm not a DC. I have the original Superman movie with Christopher Reeves on DVD. I love that movie. That could exist today. It could.
Hold on here.
Oh, you find a good juicy Zack Snyder quote?
Zack Snyder wanted to make Superman turn evil, have Darkseid turn Superman evil, and not have him join the team again in Justice League.
So that was his vision? So and, he doesn't turn back?
Hold on. And Darkseid would have killed Lois Lane, somehow setting off a chain of events that destroyed the world. Whatever.
So that was his Justice League movie?
Yeah.
So in the Justice League movie, if you ever see it on the plane, that's the only place you should probably watch it. He comes back originally not knowing who he was, and he's evil. They fight him, but then they make him realize that he's good.
Right.
So you're saying in his version, he would have stayed evil for the whole movie?
He wouldn't have brought him back right away, and then Darkseid would have killed Lois Lane.
That sounds fun. That's a fun time. I'm glad J.J. Abrams stepped in then, at least, and because that sounded like obliteration. Like now at least with J.J. Abrams helping spin it positive, they were able to do Aquaman and Wonder Woman. You know what I mean? They were able to make this kind of soft
kind of work
change.
A little bit for them.
Holy right. shit! Not J.J. Abrams. Who did that? Not fucking J.J. Abrams. I'm all fucking messed up.
Not J.J.
Justice League director.
Not J.J. Abrams.
The one that did Avengers. Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon.
Yeah. All right, Snyder. All right. Now I think I'm approaching E levels of hatred towards this individual.
You're
I hate
just,
to say it.
He's just a troll. I think.
I don't think he's a troll. He's so misguided.
Yeah.
He must have grown up in a really bad house. Like no love or I don't understand how you can be okay. I don't want to see Spider-Man kill people. I just don't. Because that's what the Punisher's
because
for.
Because we're allowed to idealize heroes in fiction.
Yes.
If fiction
it's not reality.
If fiction had to be realistic, we wouldn't have some of the best literature of our generation.
You wouldn't have Superman time. If it was reality. You wouldn't have a guy.
You wouldn't
on,
have right. You wouldn't have these characters to fuck over in their mouths if fiction had to be reality.
Holy shit! All right, okay. Ian, speaking of bullshit, we have a scumbag
seller of the week.
This tip comes from someone who emailed me called LarryInc64. This is someone selling on eBay. The user on eBay, Ian.
Auto Supply King.
Is it really Auto Supply King again?
Auto Supply King 91.
That was an old scumbag. So they're back, folks.
They're back. We did not pick them on purpose. We
this,
just this realizing
is, this. This is one of the original ones, I believe.
Yes. Super Mario World. Game complete.
Okay, complete game. So it must
complete
be...
Complete in box.
Must be the million seller version then, if it's complete in box, not the original, right? The original didn't have a box.
Oh, no, it's a custom box.
Oh, it's a custom box. Oh, custom so then it box. Must be the same price or a couple bucks more than what a Super Mario World cart costs, which is like 15, 20 bucks, right?
Oh, no, it's $142.99.
What?
Yep.
What?
So if you want that million seller version... Without the million seller stamp, here you go.
So you're getting a counterfeit or a box that doesn't exist because there is no regular Super Mario World box unless I think there was a display box that came out.
Actually, I think there was, yes.
So you're getting a $20 Atmos game with the manual, which looks real. With they made the little cardboard insert for a markup of about $120 markup.
Yeah.
They sold 9 of these. This person... sold 9 of these to some fucking rubes that didn't know any better.
Wow. This is
the
so
cost
special.
The cost to make that box and insert, it's a few dollars. $4 maybe to do that.
Yeah, that's...
Want to be generous? 5?
Let's just say 10.
We'll say 10
let's
bucks.
Say 10, and let's say the game is going for 30. Let's just go crazy.
Then it's
here.
Still an $80 markup.
It's an $80 markup
but
for
this
some
is,
fake
but this
cardboard.
This is literally a $120 markup. About.
It's just absurd.
Sure. custom. They're still selling their custom sculptor's cut N64 manual for $73, and they sold 25 of them.
I wonder if Auto Supply King has any auto supplies in their store.
Maybe he worked with the GameStop CEO at some point.
Oh, maybe.
No, there's a airbag for a Corolla from 2004 to 2008.
He has 599 listings. Oh yeah, you're right. He's got an oxygen sensor for a Toyota. And
how does he get into the world of counterfeit stuff like a Splatterhouse 2 manual that's $49 sold?
Fucking custom instruction manual for Clay Fighter Sculptor's Cut. $73.
He's still selling that custom Power Blade manual. That's what we've originally got him for.
And how much does he want for that?
Like, what is it, $70? $65?
Woo-hoo!
People are buying them. People are buying the custom Mike Tyson's Punch-Out box for $50. Assholes are buying them. It's their fault, too. They're buying their Mega Man 7 custom manual for $55.
Oh, boy.
They're selling their Mega Man 1 custom NES manual. Their Snatcher custom, fucking custom. It's counterfeit. It's not custom. Custom would be spray painting a cool flame design on my car, Auto Supply Gang. That's a custom design. It's brand new. It's different. This is counterfeit. Holy shit. I'm sorry. I'm still annoyed from the Zack Snyder thing.
Oh, that's fine.
Wild guns.
You've got a lot of reasons to be annoyed today.
Oh, I think so, Ian. Wow. Okay, we'll get into that. Panzer Dragoon Saga custom manual. But it takes the cake. This is, I think, the first time I'm seeing a real game package with a counterfeit
box.
Doesn't really exist box,
yeah,
for $120 more than what it would cost just buying the manual and Super Mario World alone. Holy shit. What does a Super Mario World in the million seller box actually cost? I'm gonna look that up.
Not much.
What does it actually cost? You can also, by the way, if you want to do this bullshit counterfeit box, another seller has it for $65.
Really?
Yes.
The box?
Well, the box with the game. So, like, the same counterfeit box. Another seller has it. And they've sold 57 of them. So, you are idiots out there buying these counterfeit boxes. I'm just telling you are.
You're dumb.
It's just insane to do it for that markup. Find someone to create it for you for cheaper then. Or the artwork's online. You can probably find the services. I'm not saying if you want to buy it, a counterfeit box, go for it. Just don't pay someone the pleasure of doing it that doesn't deserve it. What does the million seller one go for? Do I own that? I should get that one.
I don't think it goes for a lot.
I can't find one for sale online. Maybe they're hard. They must be hard to find. Because at that point, everyone had it, the regular one. Can't find it. Anyway, all right. Okay, so thanks. This is like getting into the Hall of Fame twice. Auto Supply King 91, is it, Ian?
I just closed them down.
That's good. Well, you're the scumbag seller of the week. All right, Ian, there's no Tales from the Game Store this time out.
No Tales from the Game Store this week, but
we have a Patreon.
We do have a Patreon. Our Patreon is at patreon.com/CU podcast. You can go there and pay us some money and you'll
First of all, that's not how it's phrased, Ian. You patronize
us. You can patronize us.
Yes. You support us, not pay us money. They're not walking in and giving us dollar bills.
With the money.
You really are the worst at promoting your own Patreon. I'm going on record saying that. It's like you don't want to be successful.
I do. that's why you can go and we can have a hangout on a weekend once a month.
Yes,
I write.
And the whole video version. This is an audio podcast out there. YouTube land. I know on YouTube you don't like watching things or listening to things outside of YouTube, but you can listen to the podcast.
That's right.
On Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play Store. All right, so this is our podcast poll. This is the worst result ever. 1% got, should pro sports leagues shun players who play Fortnite? No one cares about Battle Royale, apparently, on the podcast, at least on the Patreon, folks. Second place, 28%. Hang in there. What would a CU podcast movie look like? And at first place, Ian, 70%. This is going to be one of the biggest landslides ever. What forgotten retro game would be considered a classic if Nintendo had published it? That's a good suggestion.
It's not exactly forgotten, or maybe it just doesn't seem forgotten because I play this stuff a lot, but I think Bonk would have been, if Bonk had had the exposure and the push of an NES title, I think Bonk would have been a lot more popular.
You think that would have been overshadowed just by Super Mario franchise? There's room for another franchise.
I think
franchise.
There could have been room for
There's enough differences.
There's enough difference. I mean, you know, Nintendo's got a handful of platforming series, so I think that's one that I've always thought never really got its...
Day in the Sun?
It's Day in the Sun because of that.
Shiny Ball, Day in the Sun?
Also, perhaps the Wonder Boy games could have been the more RPG-ish ones.
I don't know about those. They're not really Nintendo-esque.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, obviously, anything with Nintendo published would have got more exposure. I don't know. I don't think that would have broken out still to the extent.
That's fair.
Versus a Bonk. Yeah, if you put Bonk on Nintendo, an issue of Nintendo Power...
Yeah, I think yeah. Bonk, I mean, Bonk, I've thought similarly to this along these lines before, and Bonk is always one that I feel like could have gotten way more recognition and way more playtime by people if Nintendo or, you know, or even Sega had put it out.
You know who's not giving Bonk recognition? Konami's not giving Bonk recognition.
That's right.
Because they're sitting on Bonk's face and not doing anything with them.
I need you to take it down just a notch here. You're getting...
What?
You're getting...
Am I agitated?
You're agitated.
Yes. This is like an Ian agitation from years past, how the level I'm at right now.
I feel like I'm going to see spikes just start jutting from your face.
No, it's fine. I'm okay. It's good to have a lively pat on the podcast every now and then for various reasons. I'm not hyper. Okay, Pat's going to try to hone in on something Nintendo could have successfully published that would have bolstered the game that might have been a quote-unquote hidden gem. Let's check a certain NES guide app. Well, I'll explode over that as well. What's a game that might have been forgotten that still is a good game necessarily that could have got more shine on the NES? Let's look through some of these. How about if Nintendo put out RBI Baseball, that would have blew up even more. Now it's such a Nintendo cute looking game. Imagine that.
Original
baseball is a tech demo, basically. But if they put out like an RBI baseball as a franchise, that would be
the first RBI baseball. Like, yeah, if that hadn't been Namco, but had been...
Or if they just published it.
Yeah, if they published it, that would have been huge.
Gigantic.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's a good one. Me and Ian were postulating about a black box basketball game while Ian was high a few nights ago.
Yeah, it was great.
And I might go out of my way. That's something I could invest in. A black box... ice hockey-esque basketball NES.
Oh, we've got ideas, but we're not giving them to you.
We're not giving you. We're just putting it out there. But we have it in our text. We're just going to screenshot it.
Yep.
We'll do a Google Doc. We're going to do it. Because that's the only major sport Nintendo did not do a game for.
I know.
They did volleyball, for God's sake.
And I think
golf.
I think our idea is pretty good.
Pretty, pretty. Someone's going to steal it now and put it out.
Pretty, pretty good.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, it really has to be what's like a lost sort of game that really didn't get its due. Is there any even on the Super Nintendo you could think that could have been a lot better? Joe and Mac, would that have been a thing if Nintendo published Joe and Mac? Or no, that's pretty much what it is. You know, it's like above average, but not
right.
A fantastic game.
I would look more at like games from other consoles. That's why I looked at like Bonk.
Bonk.
Sega. Who knows? I believe the person who asked us the question said Kid Chameleon.
Kid Chameleon.
I could see that. Alex Kidd. Alex.
I don't know. People have this love for Alex Kidd. That first one, that Miracle World is rough. I'm sorry.
I like Alex Kidd. Whether you like it or not, that definitely had a larger chance of sticking around if Nintendo had done it. And probably would have been
They had a few games. It was on. They had no games. It stuck around.
For the Master System. There's like one Genesis game and that's it.
Yeah, well, they turned him back to like a boy from a monkey kid. Like they changed his look. It's really weird. Alex Kidd is weird. But you think Kid Chameleon, would that be a one?
I think Kid Chameleon.
I think I played that game once in my life, to be honest.
Kid Chameleon, Alex Kidd, Bonk. I mean, honestly, any of the mascots, the attempted mascots of other companies.
Would Crash have been bigger? Well, Crash was
no,
still
Crash
big.
Is big.
Would Aero Acrobat have been bigger? Yeah. How's Kid Chameleon? Oh, that's a cute game.
You've never played Kid Chameleon?
Dude, I did not have a Genesis. I was playing Moonwalker and NHL with my friend on the Genesis and like X-Men and Sonic every now and then. I don't think he had Kid Chameleon.
110 levels or some shit like
110
that.
110 levels?
Yeah.
Under $50. How about Pitfall Harry? Would he even bigger Nintendo put him out?
Super Pitfall?
Oof. Do you like Super Pitfall?
No, it's a bad game.
Okay. I don't know what it got in the NES. Super certain SNES guy, but I gotta see what that
Oh,
got.
No. Super Pitfall's the NES one.
Oh, what's the one?
Pitfall the Mine Adventure.
Yes, that's right.
That's a decent game.
I remember that getting a lot of commercial play at the time.
Yeah, it was big at the time. I think it was because like it was similar to like Earthworm Jim. The animation was all like stretchy and slapsticky.
So
and
some people liked it.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I've only give like one decent example. I think I'm kind of dropping the ball on a landslide victory. I'm letting down the patrons. I think letting them down. Throw out some gems at me.
Maybe chalking the Forever Man on Sega Genesis could have done a lot better.
I'm just trying to look at... It has to be a Nintendo-esque game that they might have put out. I can't just say something like, Rampart would have been better if Nintendo put it out. Yeah, any game would have gotten more exposure. But some still...
You know what game might have gotten a lot more?
Cobra Triangle didn't do that well, even though Nintendo published it. What?
Gimmick.
Oh... Oh, boy.
If Nintendo had published Gimmick...
If Nintendo put out Gimmick, you'd still see Gimmick games today.
You would...
Now I'm fucking sad. Who owns it?
I think that might be the best example. If Nintendo put out Gimmick...
My little Gimmick.
Had Gimmick Mr. gotten a U.S. release, and had we known about and been playing Gimmick since we were kids over here, and it was an... I think that would have...
You would have Gimmick and fucking Smash.
Right.
I would be playing Gimmick and Smash right now. Who owns Sunsoft? Who owns the rights of the Sunsoft? God damn it! If it's Konami as well, I'm gonna go nuts.
I think Sunsoft is still around in some way, shape, or form.
God, what's going on?
I know. Maybe they shut down finally.
No, they're still around.
No, they're still around. Yeah.
All right. So what's going on, Sunsoft? Where's the Sunsoft collections? Is there a Sunsoft collection? Is there a collection? Where's the Spy Hunter and Gimmick pack?
But it would be good with Gimmick. Oh, Euphoria. Got that Euphoria.
What is Sunsoft doing with their properties?
I think mobile stuff.
Good. All right, I gotta buy the rights to Gimmick and the rights to Bonk. I gotta do it. I'm gonna kickstart it. I'm gonna get the Bonk and Gimmick. Let's go. Let's do it. God, that makes me cry. I was thinking about Gimmick. Gimmick would have had a game on the Super Nintendo. He would have been maybe not N64. He would have been on the Wii. He would have been on the Wii U.
Sorry, I ruined it for you.
I'll say it right now. Hot take. Gimmick. Yoshi ain't got shit on Gimmick. He doesn't. They're both green. That's about it.
All right. I mean, they're both different. But
I'm the same. It's not as good as a mascot. Yoshi. Yeah, we get it. Gimmick's cute and better. And has a cooler power. What's next, Ian? What we got here?
Oh, we got a Q&A.
Q&A time on the CU podcast. let's do the first one, not the second one. Save the second one.
We'll save the sec.
Ian's choice. What do you want
to talk about? We'll do the first one.
All right, this is from at Nitro Banks. Leo, thoughts on Comcast opening up an esports exclusive stadium in South Philly? Wow. So this would be the first one in the U.S. dedicated to esports, first stadium built.
I think by nature of being the first one.
It's Comcast spending $50 million.
Right.
So they have some investment.
The Comcast Spectacor.
Comcast can go eat me, by the way. They're the worst cable company ever.
Yeah.
The Fusion Arena, it's going to be called?
Fusion Arena.
Okay.
So it's a $50 million project, 3,500-seat arena, walking distance of the line, Citizens Bank, Wells Fargo Center, so easily accessible by mass transportation. I think this has the potential to be something just because as of right now it's the only standalone one in the U.S. And if I'm not mistaken, I thought Philly had a good Overwatch team, but I could be...
The Philadelphia Fusion, they're called.
Okay. So I'm pretty sure they're supposed to be pretty good. I could see it... This is not something that I think can take off cross-country. But I think
There's not enough for each city to have one.
Right, exactly. But for a place that's well built that they could fly to and have championships, they might, you know, this could be a destination.
An esports destination.
Yeah, right.
They have in Vegas, they've built not its own structure, but they have a little arena inside one of the casinos. I forget what it is off the top of my head. I talked about it with Kevin Lieber a while back.
Oh, Kevin.
But they have it in Vegas, but it's not its own structure. That's right. A lot different than saying renting out part of a place.
But this... You know, they could use it as a home for tournament finals or something like that. I could see this definitely becoming a destination, a city that has a popular team. They could do a lot of filming there. I definitely don't think... I don't think any country can support many of these, but I do think that there is a potential market there for one, two. You know, put four of them in corners of the U.S. and let those be your main areas.
I just think it's interesting that, I guess Comcast must have investment in the Overwatch League or some of these teams. I don't know. They must, though, to do this. Oh, they own Fusion. They own the team.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense.
There it is.
Okay, and it's going to cost $50 million. That ain't a lot for an arena. This is a small arena. That's not a lot of money.
It's only $3,500.
What?
$3,500 seats.
Yes, that's a small-ass arena. This is the only thing you could do for this. You can't have a basketball
team G-League.
Set up here. G-League?
We can maybe get some G-League ball going.
Set it up
for
there? Maybe a small boxing fight?
Yeah. Underground.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, usually they're that small.
But I do think, I mean...
I just think it's funny because I actually watched Overwatch League the past weekend on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up, and you actually kind of enjoyed it.
I somewhat enjoyed it. I could kind of almost know what was happening because the thing about like a MOBA, I can't see what's going on. I just couldn't see what's going on overhead. I just can't.
Sure.
They have like of course, Unreal Tournament came out of it. In Overwatch League, they have like an assault type level where you have an objective, like push the tank or whatever to the objective. Yeah. So you can follow it, and the team mostly stays together.
Yeah.
So it's not like watching... I tried watching, like, you know, Call of Duty... Not Call of Duty. Fucking... the hell is it called? Well, not Call of Duty. What's the original realistic shooting fucking game?
God, Rainbow Six.
No, not Rainbow Six. The offshoot one. I've tried watching... God, I can't... I'm so agitated.
Oh!
I can't think of anything anymore.
Counter-Strike.
I've tried watching Counter-Strike... esports, you can't follow it because everyone's splintered off for the most part, and you're watching one person shoot. It looks like trash on TV. With Overwatch, they do switch to individuals, but most of the action is happening as a group. You can follow kind of what's happening, even though it's so fast and there's so many different characters, different powers. You can sort of say, okay, here's like the tank guys, here are the individual guys. They're helping their teammates. You can see like the maps are very they're structured. The maps are structured for strategery, where it's like okay, there's choke points and there's high and low points, so you can kind of follow the action, especially when they pull out and have like the spectator camera.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. Now, could I say I knew exactly what was going on? No, I couldn't. And the commentators,
but
still,
you could probably pick it up if you watched it a little.
The
bit
commentators more. Had to do a better job explaining. Still, what the different powers were and what the different
like
specials
the alts
were
and stuff, and what each character can
yeah,
do
like
special.
I can follow the alts on the individual screens, but like okay, what the gravity power that like pulled everything in? How often do you get that? Who's using it?
Zarya, and all those are built up over time.
Yeah, like that. There wasn't a good job explaining like when they were going to happen. What was a good spot for doing it? That stuff, but I could follow it, which is good. Like, that means there's potential.
Yeah.
If I could follow it, not having any experience with Overwatch. I also, though, watched the Madden League, like the finals of that. And it was Philadelphia versus the Giants, but they draft the players from, like, constructed players and custom guys and from Legends. But it's 4 5-minute quarters. There's only, like, 3 possessions per team. It's pretty much you got to score almost every possession or stop the person. It was interesting. You don't punt. The ball,
oh,
really, because like if you punt, you're basically giving the other team a chance to score. Like there's so limited amount of possessions per team that you really have to go for it in 4 down. I saw one punt in the game only.
You're only allowed a certain number of possessions.
No, it's only 5 minute quarters.
Oh, gotcha. Sure, got it.
So that play clock runs down.
No, I understand.
So that's
yes,
like 10.
I getcha.
It's only like 10 plays a quarter potentially.
Right.
You know, it's not that much, or maybe 12 or 15. But it's not like a traditional game, but. It was interesting to watch. Obviously, you can follow a football game. So that was interesting. And the commentators did a good job explaining some of the plays. There's a lot of audibles in that. But here's the thing, is that I still think that esports is going to grow a little bit. It's not going to be like other parts of the world, but it's going to grow. I don't think it's ever going to catch fire as much as other parts of the country. Actually, the world. I just don't.
We'll see. I don't think it's going to get that big. I think part of the problem, one of the problems is America's big.
America's
United States
big.
Is big. It's
a lot of different
it's,
geographic.
It's tough to get stuff like that. I would think up off the ground when everyone's so far apart.
You need a team in every region. So it's like traditional sports leagues start with like 8 teams, 6 teams,
right.
10 teams. Like MLS still has, what, only 10 teams only? And they haven't expanded that much. Is it even 12 teams? But you have to have different regions. Like, it took a while for the NHL to build up across the U.S., and some people think it's overexpanded still. You know, basketball isn't everywhere in the U.S., and that's the you know, large... It's a sport on the rise the most. So unless you have a reason to have a local team to follow, it might be tough. Like, when I'm watching these, I'm like, well, if there was a San Diego team, I guess I'd root for them, but what's the point of having a... you know, these teams in these locations, obviously these people are based there, but I don't see the need to follow the local teams. That makes sense. So this is a whole different dynamic sure. than like when you have a local sports team, they have to play locally. When you have these teams, they can play wherever the tournament is. So they're not going to have home games, so to speak. A San Diego team's not going to have a home esports game.
Right.
So it's a different dynamic, but it's interesting. I like the Overwatch. I like the team stuff.
Overwatch is fun.
I like the idea of it. I gotta play it at some point.
Overwatch is nice too because it's also fucking bright and colorful, and
it's not Zack Snyder grimdark shooter.
It's not super dingy.
You know it's bright a little bit. Unreal Tournament. I'm not gonna say they respire, but I'm not gonna say it. All right. so you want to talk about the last topic? No, we're good.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, we're good. This was a very. You think I was agitated throughout most of this podcast?
You were
jumpy, a little jumpy,
a little spunky.
A little spunky, more than usual.
A little spunky.
I'm feeling the neurons firing a bit more right now.
Yeah,
I feel very inspired by stuff going on. I won't talk about in the podcast. we have anything coming up? No, we don't. We don't have any appearances coming up.
I'm happy about that this year. Less appearances.
Well, we might be going to two and back to back. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see. One backpack for me and one for you.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
We'll see about that later in the year. What am I doing here? A little insect finger motion. You can still pre-order a certain Super Nintendo guidebook at ultimatesnes.com. I'm finishing up the third print version of a certain NES guidebook. 60 reviews rewritten. Ian helped out.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get some Pat cash for the help there.
Oh, yeah.
you're like, oh, yeah, it wasn't just a favor. I should have said that.
kind of forgot about that.
Yeah, it was paid. So that's going to come out. Well, there's NES guidebooks left, but to those listeners, the new version's going to be better, so you can wait. Let the other rubes on Amazon buy the second print. You want the new improved one.
You definitely want to read my Blue Marlin and Black Bass reviews.
Ian did justice. That I want to play Blue Marlin now. Like that,
it's a fucking good game.
You give it 4.5 stars, Ian. I don't want to hear it again that you might be past overrating games. But if you want, what else can you get out of your fishing game on the NES, though, right?
That's about as good as it gets.
There's different locations, there's tournaments, right? There's things
it's,
like that?
So in Black Bass, and obviously there are different types of fishing, but in Black Bass you had one lake.
And you cast out.
Each tournament had one lake.
Sure.
And you could pick your spot on the lake. In Blue Marlin, you get like a location like the coast of Miami, the coast of Florida,
or Hawaii or something,
and it starts you off by the beach and you can drive around. They're like bigger areas, but there's also two other locations to each main location you can pick within. So overall, I think there's like 9 different locations to fish,
and you sail around until you get a bite, right?
Basically you drag the line behind you, and the game's clever. Like when you see seagulls flying around, if you troll behind the seagulls, like marlin will appear.
Wow.
And stuff like
some
that.
Some detail.
Yeah, the game's got.
And it seemed like the dynamic of actually reeling the fish was fun too.
Oh yeah, it is. It is. Once
you learn strength
it,
meter.
Yeah, you kind of hold that. So basically, like the best way to do it is to tire the fish out. So you hold down B to reel them in, or A, and then you do like a pumping motion. You press down and your fisherman leans back, and then your reeling gets really fast for a while after that. And you can shake the fish around.
So it's timing and knowing when to let go a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
So the line doesn't snap. So it's like real fishing, which I can't stand, but it sounds fun.
No, I can't stand real fishing either, but fishing games.
Get it? Real fishing?
R-E-E-L. Yeah.
This concludes our NES review podcast. We'll start.
Yeah.
We're going to give Retronauts a run for their money. We'll just start reviewing fishing games there. All right, so be on the lookout for that. And, of course, the Super Nintendo book, I'm going to dive headfirst and work on that later in the week. And, I mean, it's 99% written. It's just compiling the book at that point. So, all right, that's Ian Ferguson.
That's me.
I'm Pat Contry.
That's him.
Thanks to Analog for getting us a review copy of the Mega SJ Ian's in a play. Oh, yeah. With that.
Looking forward to that.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.